Heavenly Father, we commit this message to you now. Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, I pray that your name and your name alone will be honored and glorified. And as a result of being here, Lord, that we may listen intently, that you'll bind the old devil's hands to keep us distracted. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak freely through me, control me completely with your Holy Spirit, that we may indeed say as we leave this place, it's been good to be in the house of God today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, do you ever get a mailing that says on the outside something like official survey? Well, we're going to take an official survey today. Are y'all ready for an official survey? Are you awake, alert, and enthusiastic? If you are, say, uh-huh. Okay. You ready? Just do this by a simple vote, if you would. How many of you want to be happy? If you want to be happy, raise your hand up really, really high. Okay, all right. I believe that was 100% vote. And you don't get many of those in church, but I'm thankful that that's 100%. I believe that you could say 100% of the 8.5 billion people in the world, or at least close to 100%, I would hope, would tell you right now, if they were honest, yes, I want to be happy. Can I tell you that the Bible, right here I have before me, God's Word tells us how to be happy. Now, the Bible uses the word blessed or blessed, which is really a whole lot deeper and richer than the word happy. I don't use the word happy a whole lot in my vocabulary for a Christian because happiness, at least in the definition of the world, at least, listen to me closely, at least in the definition of the world, is kind of like everything is going well on the outside, therefore I am happy. I really think that a better term for Christians are blessed or joyful. But we're going to look at that today, and if you really, really want to be blessed, happy, joyful, listen real close to the Word of God, would you? Some help from the Bible. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and you're going to keep your finger there a little bit if you turn to these other passages, because we're not going to go there right away, but just put your finger in there and listen real close. Now, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, remember we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, and we're going to stay in the book of Matthew. Maybe we'll have some interruptions here or there as we've had, but this is part number 13 out of the book of Matthew, out of the gospel of Matthew. Now, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and you can just picture, if you're like me, I can picture Jesus on the mount, and the people below him, and he's preaching out to them, and they're hearing what he's saying, and these are disciples of Jesus. Maybe some are just listening for the first time, but for the most part, these are followers of Jesus, and they're listening. And the ones who aren't sure exactly who this Jesus is, can you imagine how wonderful it would be to listen to Jesus teach the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, it would be great if he could be here right now and preach this sermon, teach this sermon to us about the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we're going to talk about several things, so there's going to be a little bit of introduction here, okay? And then we're going to talk about how to be blessed by the Lord. Now, the word blessed is the Greek word that means happy, fortunate, or it can mean also, in addition to that, divine joy, perfect happiness, inner satisfaction. Now, I don't know about you, but the more I hear about this word blessed or the possible meaning of that word blessed, I want it. I want to be blessed. It means happy or fortunate or divine joy or perfect happiness or inner satisfaction. And you say, well, preacher, I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, so I'm sure I have all the blessing in my life that I need. But you know what? There's a lot of Christians who are not satisfied. There's a lot of Christians who are not content. There's a lot of Christians who you would not describe if you look at their life and they would tell you, I don't feel blessed. I don't seem blessed. I'm not satisfied. I'm not content. I'm not happy on the inside. Hopefully today's message will help you. But to kind of set the context a little bit, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, notice it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus is beginning to teach. Yeah, guess what? You need to repent. The kingdom of heaven is here, right here at hand. I am the Messiah. I am the one sent by God. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 25 through 25 say, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, notice that word teaching again, and preaching, notice that word, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Now notice, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So do you get the idea that this is a pretty big congregation, right? Jesus, as he teaches the Sermon on the Mount, he's reaching a lot of people. Now, some of those, as was mentioned, you know, he's already called some of his disciples, right? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And at least they're part of this mix, right? Maybe some of the other disciples as well. Some people are serious about it. I'm sure there's some in the crowd that says, I'm just checking this thing out. But a huge crowd as he teaches them, a great multitude. You know, the natural question that the people would have is, how do I become a part of this kingdom of God or this kingdom of heaven? Your kingdom, Jesus. How do I enter into that kingdom? So Jesus sets forth in these Beatitudes and in this message what a true member of the kingdom of heaven actually looks like. He says, you know what? If you are a follower of mine, this is what it's going to look like. What does true righteousness, being right with God, look like? And in this Sermon on the Mount, he puts forth that picture. He paints a beautiful picture, but can I tell you, he paints a very challenging picture for us that know the Lord as Savior to follow. Jesus is not setting forth, as he preaches through this Sermon on the Mount, he's not putting forth or setting forth a works salvation. Because there's no such thing as works salvation. Is there an amen out there for that? There is no such thing as a works salvation. If you and I could work our way to heaven, why in the world did God sent his only son to die upon a cross to pay my sin debt if I could work my way to heaven? We can't. Jesus clearly says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says clearly, not that you're going to work your way to heaven or not, you know, by following all these things is how you get to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to get to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus, not through works. And you say, preacher, is that a really big deal? They don't get any bigger deal than that. Because do you know how many churches are teaching that you can work your way to heaven? Do you know how many churches are teaching that? Most churches that call themselves Christian churches are teaching that today. That you know what? If your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. If not, you'll go to hell. But you can perhaps, you know, work those sins off and make it. But there's all kind of churches that are teaching that. I'm thankful that there's no such things as work salvation. Jesus says, I am the only way. And then you're still a little fuzzy on that. I thought I was working my way to heaven. Listen to this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So today, it's not the main emphasis of the message, but let me tell you, there is no way that you can work your way to heaven. There is no way. So if you're here and you think, well, I'm a good guy. I mean, a lot of people I ask, well, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Have you trusted Jesus? And they say, yeah. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Because I'm a good person. Wrong answer. The only way you and I can get to heaven is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. If you're trying to work your way to heaven because you're a good person and you're good to your neighbor and you maybe do the good work of coming to church and you do the good work of reading the Bible and praying to the Lord, those are good works, but they will not get you to heaven. The reason I'm saying that is because some people want to use the Sermon on the Mount and say, well, this is what we got to be. If we're not all these things listed in this chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, if you do these things, you're saved. That's not the point of the Sermon on the Mount. Because you cannot work your way to heaven. That's why Jesus came to be the sacrifice for us so that we could put our faith and trust in Him, our lives in His hand, asking for forgiveness, asking to be our Savior. And guess what? We become saved. We become Christians. But you say, well, okay, then, what exactly is the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount? What exactly is it putting forth? Well, let me tell you, what it's putting forth is what we should look like once we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It tells us what true righteousness should really look like. Now, what did they look at to try to determine righteousness at this point? Remember, Jesus has not died yet, but He will. So they look at these religious leaders. And they look at these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these scribes, these priests. And they're saying, wow, is that what righteousness really looks like? Is that what it looks like for someone who is following God? Jesus puts forth in the Sermon on the Mount and keeps saying, you know what? That's not what it's supposed to look like. Because remember, almost all, not all, but almost all of the Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders of the day rejected Jesus. And He puts forth in this Sermon on the Mount, there's five times that He says something to the effect, you have heard that it has been said by them of old. And then He says, but this is what true righteousness is really supposed to look like. Actually, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, notice what it says. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, if it's not real, if it's not internal, if it's not showing itself in true righteousness, guess what? You're really not a whole lot more than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders. You see, what's on the inside ought to be showing on the outside in righteousness. How about an amen to that? So Jesus is saying in this Sermon on the Mount that this is what a true follower of Jesus should actually look like, be like on the inside and look like on the outside. He's saying, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't compare. You know, we do that sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? You know, like we know that we're not right with God, but as long as we're better than so-and-so or someone else that I know, or maybe another Christian or someone in our church, well, I know I don't read my Bible like I should, but I read my Bible more than they do. You know, I know I don't witness like I should, but I did witness to somebody. I know some people never talked about the Lord, but I did mention his name once or twice. I mean, we want to compare ourselves to other people. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, don't compare yourself to other people, even other people that appear to be religious. You compare yourself to the righteousness of God, and I'm going to tell you about it in this sermon. Today, do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. Do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. I found this interesting. You know, the Latin word for blessed is beatus. Beatus. And from this comes our word. We call this the Beatitudes. Right there in my Bible, there's a heading right before chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And that's how it gets its name, from the Latin word beatus. Now, as we look at this in particular, now we're where we're going to be. We're going to look at verses 1 to 12, okay? In these Beatitudes, the question is, do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. Now listen, as Jesus begins his sermon on the mount, and says, guess what? The righteousness needs to be on the inside, and it needs to show on the outside. Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. It says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Today's message, do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. Number one, blessed or blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, that blessed, now remember, it means divine joy. It means perfect happiness. It means inner satisfaction. Now, what is it talking about when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit? You know what that means? That means a person. Now, remember, we're talking about righteousness on the inside that ought to show on the outside. Y'all with me on that? Give me just a little nod. Don't get too excited. Don't raise any hands or anything. Just give me a little nod. Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit, you know what that means? That means folks that on the inside have the right estimate of themselves. Do you know what? On the inside of each one of us, there is no way to be right with God. Did you hear what I said? On the inside of man, there is no way to be right with God. You know, someone who is poor in spirit recognizes that and says, you know what? I'm nothing but an old rotten sinner. Do you know what the Bible in Isaiah calls our righteousness? In Isaiah, I have it jotted down here, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Notice what it says. It says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Do you know what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, if you will. Those that have the proper estimate of their own sinfulness. We're poor in spirit because we can't do anything on our own. And we recognize that before God. Again, it kind of gets back to that works thing. I mean, if you could take a Pharisee and look on the inside of their heart, a typical Pharisee at Jesus' day during that time, you know what? They say, hey, guess what? I'm all right. Because I'm a Pharisee. I got influence. I got power. I got all the things that I need. And guess what? I am right with God. That's not poor in spirit. You see, if we want to be all that God wants us to be, if we want to be blessed in our life, we need to recognize that this old heart, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. There is no good thing inside the heart of man. I'm thankful that God tells us, if you recognize that, you're going to be blessed. It says, as it goes on in that verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize that you and I, if we ever enter the kingdom of heaven, we're going to recognize that we can't do it ourselves. We're going to have to become poor in spirit. Secondly, in this passage of Scripture, it says, blessed are they that mourn. Again, that blessed, divine joy, that perfect happiness, that inner satisfaction. What does it mean, those that mourn? Is it people that are just discouraged? Is that what it's saying? No. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about people that mourn over their sins and their own sinfulness. You see, they see things the way God sees things. Do you realize that God sees sin as evil and as black and as dark? I mean, I think if we had a true idea of the way God sees sin, I think we'd be a whole lot better at avoiding sin. First it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. It says, you know, I can't do it myself. But then it says, those that mourn over our own sinfulness. You know, before we come to Jesus, we really need to recognize how bad our sin is. You know, a lot of people don't seem to get to that point. I've said quite often, you are not going to get someone saved until they realize that they're unsaved. And part of that is saying, I can't do it my own, and I'm mourning over that sinfulness, all of that blackness in my heart, all the things that I've done wrong. But guess what? There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing in recognizing that. It goes on, says, for they shall be comforted. Do you know how someone who recognizes that they're poor in spirit or is mourning on the inside because of the sinfulness of their life? It says they'll be comforted. They'll be forgiven, and eternally they'll have peace with God in heaven. Now, the first two are a little bit more hard to understand than I think the others are. But do you want to be happy, being righteous on the inside? First of all, blessed are the poor in spirit. Second, blessed are they that mourn. Third, blessed are the meek. Are the meek. You say, preacher, I want to be blessed by God. You know, a lot of people want to be blessed by God, but they don't want to be what God wants them to be. It says, blessed are the meek. And a lot of people say, meek is the same word or a synonym for weak. Nah, not really. The idea of meekness is humility. It's really power under control. They used it, from what I understand, to describe horses that had been broken. You know, there's no weakness there. It's just I choose to control myself and to be a meek individual. You know, if we truly know the Lord Jesus as our Savior today, we ought to realize that we don't have the answers inside of us. We need to realize that our sin still upsets God, and we need to have an attitude of humility. You know, I've seen, you say, well, preacher, we all know that. I've been in church my whole life. Really. I was in church before I was born. I've been in church my whole life. And you run across people, and probably the last word I would use to describe them would be meek. You see, you want to be blessed? On the inside, we ought to have that meekness. Now, really, if you think about it, it's kind of the opposite of being proud. What in the world do we have to be proud of ourselves? Really? I mean, what do we have that God didn't give us, right? What abilities do we have that God did not give to us? You say you want to be blessed? Well, do you have a spirit of meekness? Yeah, you ever been somewhere and someone comes in the room and it's like, you know, everybody's attention is drawn to them and they're like, oh, okay, and they just demand everybody's attention. And they're, I use the term, I think I used that recently, kind of a big feeling somebody. You know, Christians ought not be that way, really. I mean, there's nothing wrong with speaking and talking and even talking loud, but there ought to be on the inside a spirit of meekness. And the Bible says you want to be blessed, have the spirit of meekness. Then it says, for they shall inherit the earth. I think that's speaking of eternal life with Jesus. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, right? Do you want to be happy? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Number four, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know one thing I've noticed among Christians today? You know, one thing I've noticed as an observation, and I'm not a judge, and I'm not, you know, I've got all this down pat, but I do not see a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. But you say, preacher, I want to be blessed. Do you hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God? Do you hunger and thirst for the Word of God? Do you hunger and thirst for praying to the God? Do you hunger and thirst to come to church to learn more about God? You know, you say, I want to be happy. I want to be blessed, preacher. Where's your hunger? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it goes on to say, for you'll be filled. You know, I see Christians, a lot of people, they're just like, I don't get that. I really don't. I don't get it. I'll just have to tell you that right now. Christians that are so apathetic about everything, and they're like, I don't care. You know, and you have ministries, and they don't care. They don't show up to help. And you have church. We have church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't understand people not coming to all those. I really don't. You got to look at your thirst. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? You say, preacher, I got... other things, are those other things more important than your hunger and thirst for God? And your hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, we want to be blessed. But are we willing to be what God wants us to be? Next it says, blessed are the merciful. That means to extend or demonstrate mercy to other people, thus showing the mercy that God has shown us. Do you know that we've been shown mercy when we trusted Jesus as our Savior? Y'all with me on that? Mercy's not giving us what we deserve. And you know what? You say, I want to be blessed. Well, on the inside, are you merciful to other people? Do you show them mercy? Do you not give them what they deserve? You know, it's easy for us sometimes to look down our nose at other people, isn't it? But God says, guess what? You ought to have mercy to other people. And it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Number six, blessed or beatitude. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart. You know what that means? That means to be inwardly clean from sin. Inwardly clean from sin. You say, preacher, is that talking about we need to be perfect? No, not at all. But you know what? You know what's in your heart that ought not be in your heart today. Right? And you say, well, preacher, I want to be blessed, but I want to keep on doing my own thing. Well, that's impurity in your heart. You say, preacher, I want to be blessed, but I want to visit those websites that I know I ought not should be going to. Well, that's not pure in heart. You say, I want to be blessed, but I have all of those bad thoughts. Well, that's not pure in heart. You see, if we want to be blessed, we got to make sure that there's no evil inside of us that we've not dealt with, ask God to forgive us of, and moved on and done our best for Jesus. Now, everybody here is a work in progress. If you're a work in progress, say amen.
Amen.
But guess what? We want to be blessed by God. We need to make sure that we're pure on the inside. And it says, for they shall see God. I'll not turn there, but I'll just reference it in general. Revelation 21 and verse 3 talks about, guess what? Guess who we're going to be with in heaven? Jesus. It says, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. First of all, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Number 7, there's only 2 more. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Those that make peace and not strife. People that make peace and not strife. They're not troublemakers. They don't. You ever been around people that know how to stir the pot? Ooh, we call them agitators. You know what? Being an agitator is not a godly principle. We're supposed to be peacemakers among each other. If we can make peace among other people, absolutely make peace. But you know, one of the best ways we can have men to have peace is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Do you realize that people that don't know Jesus will never have peace if we don't become a peacemaker in their life and say, guess what? Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to be your Savior. That's one way that we become peacemakers. You want to be blessed? Be a peacemaker. It says, for they shall be called, this is sweet, isn't it? The children of God. Lastly, do you want to be happy? Being righteous on the inside. Number 8, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice what it says. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then it kind of expounds upon that same thought a little bit. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. What's that mean? Pick on you? And persecute you? Oppose you? And say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake? Wow. You say, I can be happy. I can be blessed. I can be satisfied when people are doing and saying things against me. You know what? The Bible tells me, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you know part of the reason we don't suffer a whole lot of persecution in our lives, for the most part? Generally speaking, yes, Christians are under persecution around the world, sometimes to death. But I'm talking about in our country. We're persecuted more as a general block of people right now. But you know why we're not individually persecuted more? It's because we're not standing up for Jesus the way we should. But guess what? When those things happen, when we are persecuted and people do and say things against us, look at what the Bible says we should do. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Notice this, for great is your reward in heaven. And guess what? It's happened to others. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Today, covered quite a bit of ground today, maybe more than I should have. But do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? Do you know being happy, being blessed, having that divine joy, having that inner satisfaction, you know what? It comes from being righteous on the inside. It comes from being right on the inside. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who say, you know what? I realize I'm just a sinner. I need Jesus. I can't do it on my own. Blessed are they that mourn. You know, even as a Christian, once we're saved, we ought to still be sorry and mourn for our sins when we disappoint God. Blessed are the meek. Everyone here is a child of God. If you know Jesus, ought to be a humble somebody. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you checked your hunger pains for Jesus? Do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Blessed are the merciful. Do you really show mercy to people around you? Because on the inside you know how much mercy you've been shown. Blessed are the pure in heart. Are you inwardly clean from your sin? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you encouraging peace among men? And are you encouraging men to come to know Jesus as Savior, where true peace comes from? And lastly, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Are you living such that people know you're a child of God? Are you living such that your insides are showing that you're rightly related to the God of the universe? If you do that, guess what? The persecution will come. But it says, rejoice and be glad. I'm thankful that this type of happiness, this divine joy, this perfect happiness, this inner satisfaction begins. Are you awake, alert, and enthusiastic? I'm landing this plane, okay? This blessedness, this joy, this peace, this happiness in my heart begins at salvation. Begins by trusting Jesus as your Savior. If you're here today, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how many churches you've been to. I don't care how good of a person you've been to your neighbor. All I really care about is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, I just can't not be satisfied in life. Well, guess what? It's because you're lacking the one who can satisfy you. You're lacking Jesus. So I'd encourage you today, as we sing a song here in just a moment, we call it a song of invitation. We call this invitation time here in just a moment. I don't care what people think. You shouldn't care what people think. If you're here today and you're not sure, if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, but you want to be happy, you want to be blessed, it starts by trusting Jesus as your Savior. So I'll be somewhere down here. You come down front and say, preacher, I want to be saved. That'd be great. I'd love for you to leave today and say, you know what? I know Jesus as my Savior. I know where I'm going. But though, for those of us here today who are already saved, we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. Do you realize that we could be robbing ourselves of the greatest blessings in life? Because we refuse to be on the inside what God calls us to be. Do you realize that someday we're going to stand before God, and won't it be disappointing at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians for us to be told, you know what, do you realize what you could have been for me? Do you realize what you could have done for the kingdom of God? But you were so preoccupied with all of the things of life that you didn't accomplish them. Today, if God is speaking to your heart as a child of God, and you say, you know what? I believe being right with God on the inside is important. I want to be blessed in my life. I want to be all that God wants me to be. The altar is going to be open. And we're going to sing. And you don't have to talk to the preacher. I just encourage you to come to the altar and talk to God about it. And again, God's not robbing you of this blessing. The preacher's not robbing you of this blessing. You're robbing yourself of this blessing by doing it your way instead of being right with God on the inside. I'd encourage you, get right with God on the inside. And you say, preacher, are you talking about those big sins we're talking? I'm just talking about anybody who wants to say to God, God, I can do better. God, I want to be right. I want to do it your way. The altar is open today. Dear God, we thank you for this Sermon on the Mount. We thank you, Lord, for the Beatitudes. We thank you, Lord, that you tell us how we can be blessed by, Lord, being righteous on the inside. And, Lord, if there's one soul here today who's never trusted Jesus, Lord, give them the boldness to step out and to be saved today. If there's one Christian here today that would say, you know what, I'm really not right with God on the inside, and I know I'm not. I maybe need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to tell more people about Jesus, or it could be sins of commission. Who in the world knows? And, Lord, we don't really even care at this point. Lord, all we want is people that are sold out to you to say, Lord, I want to be right with you. Lord, give them the boldness to step out today as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray.